This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success.
This podcast is a test of your mettle too, because we've got the temperature turned up to 97 degrees.
And he's wearing a sweater.
We're in a sweater over here. We're in a suit jacket over here. Don't mind us.
And your ratings are going to go up soon.
Yeah. And afterwards, we all go into cold plunge. And we continue the conversation, and we see how your mental acuity is there. Today, we have a fantastic guest that, quite frankly, for this particular audience, needs no introduction. You see him all over the place. If you have a phone, if you have social media, if you are attuned to other entrepreneur type podcasts, Dan Fleischman is someone who is absolutely moving the needle all over the place, and we're super excited to be able to share with him today. We have also our great friend David Meltzer helping us to hold it down, because we were having a hard time coming up with questions, and we knew that you are the man that not only has answers, but you've got questions.
Especially with this guy, because I've known him so long. Yeah, I just have to be careful what questions I ask to make sure I get the right answer.
The conversation can turn quickly.
We were just talking about a previous investment that I can't bring up.
I want to start off because I want to jump through. I mean, I want to get, of course, to all of the great things that you're doing, but I want to know just today, walking in on a Friday, what are the top three things that you're most concerned about today?
Our economy. Okay. I'm worried that inflation at 8-9% a year, when you do the math, it adds up real fast. When muffins were $2, now they're $5. And gas was $2, now it's $5. And you start to think about like bread, water, and milk for the masses. Like, how are they going to afford that if it keeps going 9%, 9%, 8%, 8%? Math gets scary. So I'm worried about that part. That's why I'm talking about money so much and talking about investing, and because you have to get rich, and we have to get rid of the thing that's rude to be rich. Like, you literally have to get rich to survive, because if muffins are $8, how can you buy muffins?
Right. Like, it's rude to be rich. Yeah. That's great.
That's an interesting thing. I want to come back to the other two, but we get a lot of flack on social media for your comment, not for your comment, for our own comment, but now we're going to get it for your comment of it's rude to be rich. Why do you think that people are so against being successful, being rich?
So the only reason you think that is because of the narrative that's been put out there by the media. Yep. And they're the ones that are stone cold wrong. By holding back our society from making money and making it seem like it's rude to be rich, you're literally hurting people's lives. Mm. It's not rude when I want to pay for my mom's health. It's not rude when I want to pay for children's travel, or I want to donate to charity, or my friends want to go on a trip, or I want to do something. Like, if you want to pay for your kids' college, that's not rude. Mm-hmm. You need money to survive and to eat and for health and life. And so the narrative that like money is the root of all evil, et cetera, like, no. It pays for medical, health, electric, lights, utilities, and everything in your life. You have to have it.
But it also pays for the employees and businesses.
Absolutely.
To stay in business and grow. And people forget that side. My own kids' high school, I went to sponsor the football team, the scoreboard. And my motto is make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. They would not put it up on the scoreboard. So now they're telling all the kids, they said, help a lot of people, help a lot of people have a lot of fun and make a little money. That they wanted to change that. Yeah. They wouldn't even put it on the scoreboard.
Wow.
What are we teaching people about abundance? That is such a scarce mentality. That's like the mentality, I'll wait for it to be on sale instead of I'm going to make enough to pay for it.
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting because I love what you said about the media's narrative that people are listening to and how it impacts them. But I often, I work with a lot of people around their mindset around money. And sometimes it's not even the media's narrative, but it's old family narratives.
Absolutely.
Or other voices that they have inside of them. And it's literally diluting their ability to go out there and be successful because of those voices that they listen to that aren't even theirs. And so such an important comment. And I hope that people are always willing to look at where is that coming from.
The first sentence of my podcast, I say, we grew up thinking it's rude to be rich. Mm-hmm. We grew up thinking it's rude to talk about money. And I think it's rude to not talk about money.
Right.
Because your kids go out there and they're 18 years old and we just throw them out from high school into, go work and pay rent and pay utilities and get a car note and negotiate salary. How? You weren't allowed to talk about salary at your household. You're not allowed to talk about money with your friends. You're not allowed to talk about loans. You're not allowed to talk about financing or credit or FICO or taxes. How dare you talk about that stuff? That's how we were grown up. And so I think it's insane that we don't talk about it, because that's real life. Your children are not learning this stuff in school, so we have to talk about it as adults.
One thing you mentioned too is the interest rate. and you were saying, look, we can't continue on this. One of the other things that Lacey and I believe a lot is that there is an effort underway to separate us from understanding math.
Yes.
The less we understand about math, the less we understand about our own money. If I can separate you from math, I can separate you from your bank account.
Absolutely.
Tell us some of what you believe relative to some of the efforts to confuse us about math. We had this whole Common Core for a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, I actually just saw just this morning, math scores are down because of COVID. And I was like, well, maybe that's intentional. Because if we don't know math, we don't know money, we can screw around with the interest rates, the economy, and we won't really even understand how much of a deficit we are operating in with our money.
Well, just go back and look at when we grew up in school, did anybody talk about a mortgage?
Right.
Could you even spell IRS?
wait, that actually occurred in law school as well. And
really?
I was one of those students where the only people that knew when we were in real estate law or tax law were the guys who actually lived real life and had bought a house or had done some sorts of financial and paid the dummy tax, which I always attribute that dummy tax or the ignorant ability to do math. Even though I knew math, it's different, the applied mathematics.
Right.
And then even beyond that, one of the things that you do really well is the perception of money compared to the bottom line. Bottom line money is always math. Most people don't know their bottom line, which means they don't know their timing and risk tolerance. Yes. But there is an advantage as well to understand the perception of money, the energy of money, which we all talk about. How have you reconciled the math side? Because I know you're like me, coming from that school, that same high school, actually. But it's more important to actually be able to articulate a perceived value where you're giving people more of what they like or taking away what they don't like.
It's having the reality check about money is the tool that you need for your daily life, for you and your family and friends. If you want to help your mom, you need money. If you want to help your children, you need money. You want to help your significant other, your friends, anything you do is money related. So why is it rude to talk about money?
Yeah.
Why is it rude to talk about real life? Why? And I also have this reality check that, like, you have to think about how much do you actually make, how much do you actually save, and how much do you actually spend. There's a big difference between, like, I pay for my mortgage or my rent or my lease, I pay for my car note, I pay for insurance and taxes, and I pay for certain things. No, but you also spend X amount of dollars a month on Amazon. You've got six subscriptions that are $20, $50 a month. Oh, that's not that much. No, six times 20 to 50 is $300 a month.
Right.
Times 12 is 3,600. If you make 60 grand a year, all right, well, 6-7% is going to those little things.
After tax
dollars. Right? After tax dollars. And so I just like having these blunt discussions. I call it building in public. I talk about real math, how much I really spend on something. This is how much an Everbowl restaurant costs. This is how much I paid to invest in this. This is how much I donate to charity. This is why you should do X, Y, Z. Like, I talk about real life math because it's real life math. And there's nothing rude about talking about it. And I don't do it for a pat on the back. I showcase, this is how you should spend money. This is how you should consider investing. Here's all your different options. This is why, hey, raise your hand if you think Apple will be here in 5 years. Okay, buy some Apple stock.
Right.
Oh, you like to go to Walmart? Maybe you should buy some Walmart stock. Oh, you spend $20 a month on Netflix? Buy $20 a month of Netflix stock. I just talk about real life things because it's important.
You also provide solutions for people. You have podcasts, you do events all over the place. Tell us a little bit about that experience, what you're doing to help us as entrepreneurs, and what that experience has been. What's the feedback been?
So for the last 12 years, I've thrown a free event called Elevator Nights. Tonight is the 54th one.
Wow, congratulations.
Right? Dave
amazing.
Was there.
I think the first one. I'm not going to be at the women's night. Even if I wore a pink sweater, they weren't letting me speak.
Off,
they
were,
Julie was invited.
And so that event's been completely free. There's no tickets, no sponsors, no sales on stage. It's just a free event, 300 to 1,000 people every time for the last 12 years. And number 54 is tonight, 55, 56, 57 are already lined up because I want an excuse to bring people together to learn and network with other entrepreneurs. And I want to remove the barrier of cost. Tomorrow, we've got 3,000 people coming for Aspire Tour. But we make tickets that are like $47, $97. There has to be some cost to it because I want them to show up. When I have a free event, only about half the people show up.
Right.
I'll get 1,100 to register and 600 to show up, right? And so Aspire Tour, and sometimes we give away free tickets. We'll give away a couple hundred free tickets as well. But Aspire Tour has now become the largest business tour, $47, $97, $200, $500 type tickets, so that people can come and learn from Dave Meltzer, Magic Johnson, Lewis Howes, like Mark Cuban, like Kevin Hart.
Everybody.
You know, like, and so we're spending, you know, $1 million to go get Kevin Hart and Mark Cuban and David Goggins.
Gary Vee.
Gary Vee, et cetera.
And Dave Meltzer.
And
half a million for me.
Yes.
That's half our budget's right there. And so, but we're doing that because we're literally teaching what our mastermind is called, Money Is. The mastermind, we have 706 members and growing 100 a month, called Money Is, because we want to teach 3-day weekends about what is money. Mm-hmm. How do you use it? What are taxes? How do you get loans? How do you get your credit score up? How do you fix the things? Because money is life. It is part of your daily life. And so the events to me are so, I'm so passionate about them. I'm throwing a networking event tonight, the women's event tonight, the Aspire Tour tomorrow, and then 9 days from now we do Aspire Tour in Denver, like bam, 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 because this is the way I call it touch the cloth. There's a big difference when you see someone on a podcast, when you see them in person, when you hear them on social media, watch them on YouTube. All of them give you a different feeling or emotion. But when you see them in person, it's kind of like a rock concert. And that's mm-hmm. why we make it that way. We make it feel like a rock concert. You will see special effects. You will see celebrities, et cetera. Because I want you to remember it and go do it.
Right.
One of the other values that Sean and Lacey understand, you do, since you guys do so many events, is a core lesson. I've known Dan for a long time. I think since he was 19, he was the youngest guy to take a company public. But it's the relationship capital. Mm-hmm. Yes. Not, you know, because I know people that go to Aspire because they want to touch the cloth of Magic Johnson. And I will tell you, you won't find a more charismatic speaker in the world than Magic Johnson. He literally could say, and I saw him because I got the keynote before him at Denny's. All he said was, I love pancakes, and everybody flipped out. I was on the stage for an hour and a half, and they did not flip out. I was getting the obligatory standing O, which most corporate speakers get. But he's the real deal. But it's the crowd itself is an asset.
Yeah.
And you and I have used the bug light approach for years, where we bring in the biggest names and billionaires, millionaires, entrepreneurs, celebrities, athletes, and entertainers. Yep. That's the business model, to bring in the bug lights. But it's really for the people.
Yes.
And Elevator Nights does it. Yep. All the masterminds, the $100 million mastermind, all the things you've ever done. How important is it for the break time where those people are meeting people that are in the neighborhood?
Yep. So the networking part is actually the most important part of masterminds and live events. What you learn from a stage, you're gonna get little nuggets and information and things that you will keep with you, and some of that you'll forget, unless you're taking notes. But the people you meet in the room, that is powerful. The networking sessions, the breakout sessions, those interactions, because those hundreds of people at that event have already proven that they care about what you care about, mm-hmm. right? If you're at a business event, or you're at a real estate conference, or you're at the all women's event, whatever that thing is, you care about it. And so if I'm in the hallway with you, I know you came there to make a better life or to learn something or do something. And so I'm really passionate about pushing them to network with each other. And I actually say it at every event. It's not just about Magic Johnson and Dave Meltzer. You're surrounded by people that have already proven that they like what you like. So talk to them, especially during the breaks, and not just be on your phone in the corner.
Well, we find that too in all of our events. That's where most of the connection, collaboration, accountability actually happens, is outside of the conference itself, mm-hmm. right? And so that's very valuable. One of the things, though, I was just thinking, because we only got through number one of what else gives you ulcers at night? But I think a lot of people always talk about, here's what you have to do in order to make money. Here's what you have to do in order to attract wealth in your world. But what I love what you're talking about is what you're not doing. Mm-hmm. You're not in relationship with your money, and your events are driving and forcing people to get more in relationship with their money. But as the economy is shifting and we're encouraging people to be in relationship with their money, there's obviously other things that are concerning. So give us another one.
Back to the media. It's people are finally realizing, like, there's a lot of untruths. And I'm not anti-media from the concept of the media. I love the media because we need information fast. But when it's skewed and you can see the same publications say two different versions of, this is terrible, this is fantastic, this is the end of the world, this is the best thing that ever happened, that's confusing. And depending on what algorithm you're on, it's very confusing. What you see on your social media, what you see and what I see and what Dave sees, completely different.
All I see is Dan, so.
There you go, so.
I'm on the Dan feed.
That
Dan
is definitely
feed.
What
there's
I
there's too much there
see.
For me to keep up with, so I don't go anywhere else.
So that does scare me, because that narrative, and it spreads fast.
Yeah.
Right? We could have a situation right now, like if I spilled my cup on the floor and the drink went everywhere and got all over his shirt, that video could have 7 million views before I get to the parking lot.
Right.
And so that part is interesting and scary at the same time, is that how much power the media has and social media has, and that narrative can literally change our minds. Mm-hmm. And if we believe it, all of a sudden we're like, whoa, yes, this is fantastic, or this is amazing, or this is terrible, and it causes conflict amongst each other. And that's the scary part for our society, is there's you know, our households are different now. The traditional family is different. And some people are trying to rip that apart. Our schools are different. And some people are trying to rip that apart. Like, there's just a lot of interesting things that that do scare me that can happen really fast. You saw it, like, what happened with Planet Fitness. They lost $400 million yesterday.
Yeah.
$400 million yesterday for one bad decision.
Yeah.
And they were trying to make it, like, the right woke decision, and instead they got cost them $400 million. And so that is really powerful and scary at the same time.
Well, obviously there's making mistakes and then, you know, lapses in judgment. You also are kind of alluding to there's potentially forces, people that are controlling a narrative. I'd love to have some insight from you as to why you think that. Is it just purely like they're playing a game for clicks? They're playing a game for eyeballs? Are they have an agenda? Why does that go on?
So I don't have conspiracy theories because I don't give them that much credit. Mm. Like, I've met a lot of politicians and I'm not going to give them that much credit. So, they're not masterminding the way you think they are.
Stay here for more tips.
They're master something, but it's not masterminding.
And so I just think that there are rooms full of people that are doing things? Yes. Is there an Illuminati? And that's hard to explain. But, like, people making decisions that do impact our world, that's 100% positive because we watched it happen with certain situations that have happened in the last 3 years that have divided the world, right, and divided countries and divided people and caused riots and, you know, protesting. And then they find out, wait, that video was actually a different angle. Oh, wait, that didn't actually happen. Oh, wait, that person didn't do that. You know, like, and so that part is it's a very scary, interesting time in our
world. Well, and I think it's interesting because you have to be able to have a good filtering system when you're consuming all of this content. Because like you said, we do need content. We need it fast.
For sure.
So we cannot close the doors to social media, the news. You have to be able to look at those things and filter through. So what tips do you have on actually being able to consume and not be impacted?
Not instantly reacting. Mm. So you see a video and something bad looks like it's happening. Like, and then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute. Why are they saying that? Or what is happening there? Maybe if I look it up for 30 seconds, I'll be like, wait, there's a different angle of that same exact situation that didn't exactly happen that way. We saw that happen with Russell Brunson recently, a good friend of ours. Like, there was one version of the scenario, and everyone loved ripping him apart because he's such a great guy, billion-dollar company, so wholesome. And so everyone's like, yeah, let's talk crap about him.
Yeah.
And then you see the other angle, you're like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
He didn't do what they said, and the headline's not even close. And so,
Danny, I think where we're going, though, not to interrupt you, is that there's going to be a watered-down version of the truth in social media. And I saw that happen in print. I saw it happen on TV. Mm. When we first started coming up with, unlike just Walter Cronkite, that if Walter Cronkite told you something about news, it was true.
Yeah. Yes.
And then we went to the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post. If they did something, it was true.
Yes.
You're going to get, because of the exposure and the experience, people are just going to go back to the same as when I step on stage. This resonates with me. Mm. And so facts don't really matter. If this point resonates with me, then it has significance. Now I have the access to all different types of opinions. But I know that, you know, this position on abortion resonates with me. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to go find different opinions.
Right.
And I'm aware that although this is social siloed and it's controlled, that it's just sparking what resonates with me or not. And I know from, you know, human nature doesn't change. I know it's a matter of about a decade that the significance of what we watch is already happening. You know, I watched a dog video, you guys have probably seen this, where they press the buttons and it answers the master.
I'm trying to teach
and
Dexter
so
to
my
do that.
Skepticism immediately, my wife's convinced that's real. I'm like, I'll make you that video right now.
Right.
Like, just get the dog to hit it and I'll say, I love you, Dave.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, it knows how to speak. This is what's happening slowly but surely. Yes. Some people are more impressionable than others.
So that's called confirmation bias.
Right. Yes.
You see something about the topic that you care about.
You get
the
validation.
Topic, and then you go find the validation to back it up. And that's happening at scale in our society right now.
You also are an influencer in and of
yourself. Influencer.
And you also work with a lot of influencers. A lot, in seeing something, your answer was don't react. What about in putting content out? Now, there's a lot of pressure, and I'm sure you must feel it. Absolutely. Like you have to have a position on this. Why are you silent? Your silence is deafening. Uh-huh. How do we choose if we're putting content on social media?
Absolutely.
How do we pick and choose?
Yeah, so that happened a lot during the Israeli-Palestine situation. For example, I'm Jewish, Dave's Jewish, et cetera, and I got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of messages about like your silence is deafening. Well, first of all, I want to analyze the situation. So I'm not going to react to something that's that important, right? Number two, there are three sides to every story. Israel side, Palestine side, and the truth. Mm-hmm. Next thing, nothing that we say or post is going to change what happens 10, 20, 30,000 miles away.
Yeah.
Sad to say it, it's not going to change. They are not, the Palestinians are like, oh, Dan and Dave said
I wished, I wished. I'd ask for something else.
Some changes. Yeah.
World peace, yeah. Please.
Yeah, Dan and Dave said we want a ceasefire, so you know what, I'm going to put my guns down. Yeah. All right, so that's another thing. Next, I know without a shadow of a doubt that's been going on for 70 years, and it's going to go on for 70 more years, and 70 more years, and 7,000 years. And it's a sad fact. And so the reality of it is, me doing the social media post to cause a bunch more friction is not going to help anyone. And so I don't want to cause more divisiveness, and Kevin Hart's the same way. I've had a long discussion with him about it, and he made some posts about it, and I did an interview with him about it, and every single time his answer is the same. He's like, I post about happiness. And me choosing a side of conflict when I don't have all the answers is not good for anyone. Especially when he's got 200 million followers, right? And so I am of that same passion. I do not have to make a video because someone DMs me that you have to make a video.
But
I don't.
But you know that's a good point because Kevin, because I adhere to that. Like I don't get that crap anymore because I post videos that are on the outskirts about what I'm about. Mm-hmm. So for example, generational hate. Any activity or any incident that causes an entire generation to perpetuate hate, I'm not for that. Mm-hmm. I didn't say anything about Israel and Gaza,
right.
But it's amazing how many people think, oh, Dave took my position, right? So I think, you know, as content creators and opinion people, that it's okay to comment if you have an opinion that is aligned with like, I'm a happiness guy or I'm a gratitude guy. I will comment on things, but it is strange because I do learn. I give everyone my cell phone, and I will tell you, the guy who taught me that was Dan at an elevator night. Oh. He said, Dave's going to give you his cell phone, and let me just tell you this, Dave, no one's going to call you.
No.
And I know when I came and spoke for the very first time, and it still holds true, so I will tell people that are angry, hey, call me on my cell phone. It's amazing how many of those people, they care enough to tell you that you should be commenting.
Keyboard cowboys, yeah.
But they won't even call and tell me. I will tell you one lady when the Black Lives Matter said to me, because I said, from my opinion, well, my values are all lives matter. And she got really aggravated and angry at me. And what she was trying to say was, all lives do matter, but it's time we prioritize Black lives because of what's going on in America. I said, oh, you know what? I agree with that. I do think that it's time that we prioritize this right now because it's such a big issue. But if we weren't communicating, and it was the other 999 people that were too afraid to call me, I wouldn't have learned anything, and she wouldn't have been satisfied.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't be friends today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Give us one last concern of yours on a Friday.
And don't say having your first baby.
My concern is people consuming information and not doing it.
Mm. Apathy? Know,
They're learning these things. They know what the right answer is. They know they should work out. They know they should study. They know they should have XYZ happening in their life. They know they should get away from that bad boyfriend or that bad girlfriend. Like, they know they should do the thing. Mm-hmm. And then they're either complacency or fear, they just stick with what's comfortable. Mm-hmm. And then they stick with it for 1 or 2, 3 years. Man, life is short. Mm-hmm. You stay with that bad boyfriend for 3 years, you're losing 3 potential good years with a new boyfriend. You stay with that bad diet for a couple years, man, like you're missing out on being healthy and feeling better. Like you not doing the thing that you know is right, that one hurts me because I get frustrated. Like what's that thing about like the missing out on potential? Like when we see mentor or we're mentoring someone and someone's, you know, Dave is teaching someone and then they don't do it, right? They don't use their skills. It's frustrating for guys. Mm-hmm. Like, it's frustrating.
What about wanting it more for them than they want to?
I was just going to say that. We always tell our clients that, like, it's so hard when we want your business to be more successful than you, or we want you to get out of your life more than you want it. Yeah. And it is a very difficult thing, because inaction is powerful. People think action's powerful. Inaction is more powerful.
If they don't go fix their health, oh my gosh. Like, it's frustrating for a doctor. Like, you know they can fix it.
Yes.
You know you have it in them, and they just don't do it out of complacency or fear. That's frustrating.
One of the things you mentioned there was the events that you put on, the power of networking. And I'm glad you said that, because I was thinking, how many people are collecting notebooks from events? Oh,
$1,200 a month, right? My storage.
Yeah.
All these notebooks. But they don't do anything.
Oh.
They just are waiting for the next event to fill it.
Feel good for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then not do anything. And then another event that might solve their problem. So I love that. How can people connect with you? They want to jump into the Dan Fleischman world. How can they find out more?
They just follow me on social media. My Instagram name and bio is the same on every platform, and everyone listening, you should do the same thing. Same name, same bio, same photo. So if you're wearing a pink sweater, wear the same pink sweater in every single bio, because we have a very short attention span, so make it easy for people to find you. But yeah, my social is all the same, just under my name.
I love it. Thank you so much for joining us. Absolute pleasure. We super appreciate you. Yeah. Thanks for hosting with us.
Thank you for having me. And it's great. It's the first time to have one of the guys that I've known the longest. And I couldn't, you know, it's so nice to have your own success. And you know this from having your own kids. And Dan's going to have his first child. Yeah. It's way better to watch, you know, the Dan Fleischmans, the Jake Reynolds, the, you know, unbelievable leaders today in their 40s, to see them carrying on and making your bad ideas really good. So, thank you, Dan.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
I love it.